Friends, welcome. We are thinking about our sexuality and God's story, understanding and reflecting on how we are called to embody the good news of the gospel story of Jesus and make that visible through our sexuality, through our marriage, through our singleness and celibacy. And in this final video, we're going to reflect just a little bit on pastoral care, thinking about what it means to walk well with LGBT plus people as we seek God's kingdom first. A couple of things I want to note here. First is that consistency is really important. And what I mean by that is we need to make sure that we are treating all sexual sin the same so that we're not singling out gay people specifically in our churches, in our congregations, or in our friendships, in the way that we interact with people. And so, you know, what I've noticed is that oftentimes people can be can be pretty patient with those who are struggling with straight sexual sin. And so whether it's somebody who's cohabiting or involved in sex before marriage or somebody who's struggling with pornography, we tend to be like, okay, that we all have struggles. We're all learning and growing. We're all walking alongside each other. But then if somebody even not even says that they're involved in a same-sex sexual relationship, but even just comes out as gay, that person can tend to be ostracized or pushed aside or seen as just, again, inherently worse or more sinful because of that. And so, if two gay people move in together and clearly have a romantic and sexual relationship, just ask yourself, how would your church treat them in comparison to a man and woman who move in together, obviously have a sexual relationship outside of marriage, and think about, would people respond and interact the same way? Or imagine if somebody came to you and said, I've really been struggling with pornography, and maybe like, okay, wow, that's tough, we're going to walk alongside you. But what if it's gay pornography? Does that make it worse? Does that somehow make that person more untouchable or a worse sinner? And so we have to be really careful here that we are being consistent in our pastoral care, walking alongside one another. I think this also then takes hospitality and patience. Journeying together with all people, gay or straight, it is a process. And oftentimes we sort of want people to be at the end process sooner rather than later. I want to fix people. I want to make sure they're all doing what they should do. And in fact, when we walk alongside people, when we're ministering to people, it takes time. It takes patience. Several times in the course, I've referenced St. Augustine, probably the greatest theologian in the history of Christianity. In his book, Confessions, he talks about how he wrestled with the faith. He grew up in a home where his mom was a Christian, but his dad wasn't. And all throughout his late teens and his 20s, he's involved in a sexual relationship that we would say, this doesn't align with God's will. This doesn't match his intentions. But Augustine's mother kept praying for him. And even as he was in that relationship, he was on this journey of trying to understand who God was and wrestling with some deep philosophical and theological and spiritual concerns. And so, when I read Augustine's Confessions, what you realize is that God is at work in people through all kinds of circumstances. And so, again, we want things oftentimes to be nice and neat and tidy and be able to wrap it up and put a bow on top and say, this is all simple and clean and clear. And in fact, what you often see is that it's complicated. One of my friends who is a pastor and who himself was in a same-sex relationship in his late teens, early 20s, said, for 4 years while I was in this same-sex relationship, I was also at the same time somehow growing spiritually, and God brought him to the point where he realized, wow, this same-sex relationship is not God's intentions for me. It's not God's best for me. But throughout the 4 years of that relationship, again, he was in that relationship while God is working in him, moving him, and he's growing spiritually. And so we need to be careful here that we often have our own picture of what it looks like for somebody to be following Jesus fully and completely. And I think a lot of times we need to exercise hospitality, exercise patience, not try to make people exactly how we wish they were right now, but be willing to come alongside and journey with them. I would also emphasize that as I approach this topic, the goal here is not to change somebody's orientation. Again, I would distinguish orientation from actual sexual activity. And so I think it's really important for people to say, my goal is not to change somebody's predisposition or who you're in general attracted to. Again, recognizing that that's different from lusting after a particular person in a particular instance. And so the goal isn't to make gay or lesbian people straight, but to say, what does it mean to submit and to surrender your sexuality to Jesus? Just as I, as a straight person, have to submit and surrender my sexuality to Jesus, that I recognize that what people think of as sort of a normal straight person is not the biblical sexual ethic. I think about this a lot. In fact, you know, when I think about different workplaces where I've been employed, working along, especially oftentimes working alongside other straight men, and the way that they talked about women, the way that they referenced women, the way that they treated women, you know, it was just considered, this is how normal straight guys behave. But I look at that and think, well, that's not Scripture. That's not what Scripture calls me to. And so I have to recognize as a straight person that as well, that my goal is not to just, you know, be a normal straight person. My goal is to surrender my sexuality to Jesus so that in and through my marriage and in and through my life, how I express my sexuality, God is glorified and people start to see some of the self-giving, self-sacrificial love of Jesus. And that's a good place to end, I think, because throughout this course, this is the call. And my hope and prayer is that this has been helpful for you to reflect on how the story of your singleness, how the story of your marriage, how the story of your sexuality can put the gospel story of Jesus on display. There is a world that is looking for something, a world that's hungry for something deeper, for something more. In a lot of ways, we substitute our sexuality for a deeper spirituality, that we try to find in our sexuality the meaning of life. We try to live out this individualism that says, I'm going to do what makes me happy. I'm going to be my authentic self, and I'm going to find real fulfillment there. Or if I can only find this romantic connection with somebody else, then I'll be complete and fulfilled. And I think part of what we've seen is that Jesus enters into our world. He gives of himself. He gives himself fully and completely for us, to redeem us, to rescue us, to transform us. And so as I see the way that he gives himself, that challenges me to understand my sexuality through that lens, to understand my body through that lens, to understand my marriage or my singleness through that lens, that I am called to that kind of self-giving, self-sacrificial love. And that as I do that, I put the gospel story of Jesus on display. Well, I'm thankful for your participation in this course. I hope and pray that it's been helpful for you, and I pray that God will continue to use it both in your own life and as you minister to others. So until next time, blessings.